بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في قرآنه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومن رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون. All praise and thanks be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector and curer. We ask Allah the Almighty to shower his choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family members, his companions and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. O children of Adam, first and foremost I admonish myself and then all of you all present here, let us introspect ourselves, let us examine ourselves, let us instill in our hearts the praiseworthy trait of taqwa, and that is to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during every single second of our lives if we wish to attain success in this world as well as the hereafter. And we need to take extreme precaution that on the path to adopting taqwa, we do not give in or entertain any thoughts of self-righteousness. Because this is from the quality of shaitan and it also results in kibir, in arrogance, pride filling our hearts. The minute we start becoming a little pious, a little righteous, we don't look down upon people in a condescending manner. Let us not judge others, let us not become judgmental. For Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the best of judges. We have no right whatsoever to judge anybody. Let us not judge anyone. Let us not harbor any ill feelings, grudges towards our brothers and sisters. Let us not harbor hate and anger. Let us not spread rumors. Let us not talk bad about people. Let us not feel jealous about others. Let us always think good about others. Let us purify our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, the topic for today's khutbah is spiritual punctures and a few cures in regard to it. It is well known from time to time that our levels of faith begin to dwindle. From time to time, our levels of faith begin to drop. And this phenomenon of weak faith has become widespread amongst us Muslims, especially in this time and era. Many a time we hear people saying, or people going to the scholars and saying, "Ya Sheikh, I don't know why, but I've just got this feeling in my heart, as if I feel low, or there is this vacuum in my heart, or my heart has become hard. I can no longer cry when I recite the Quran, or the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ahadith of our beloved Master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do not have any effect on me." And there are even scarier statements where they come up and say, "Ya Sheikh, I don't know, I've begun to question my faith. I have begun to question my faith. I don't understand. I find no joy in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in ibadah, in reciting the Quran. I feel lazy to observe worship unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." These are all symptoms of a weak heart, in other words, weak iman. Spiritual punctures are of two types. One which is of a very serious nature. That is when the levels of Iman plummet to the level that we start questioning our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a very serious drop. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. And if that were to happen to us, it is upon us to immediately make tawbah and administer the Iman boosters that have been given to us in terms of the Quran and the advice from our beloved Master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the other type of a spiritual puncture is when there is suddenly a drop. We feel the drop because we feel a bit lazy perhaps to offer optional prayers. But then again, it does not make us question our faith. It does not make us leave the obligatory commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor do we resort to anything that has been prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we feel low and we feel that vacuum in our hearts. Then again, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, it is upon us to administer the cures that have been taught to us by our beloved Master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I'll do my best to touch on a few cures in regard to boosting weak iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep all of our iman strong and steadfast. Before moving on to the cures, there's something that I wish to establish, and that is, it is a well-established doctrine of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah that the levels of iman in regard to the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, other than the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, the general public, the levels of iman, they rise and drop. There is a drop and then there is a rise. This is normal. Because there is a hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, and this particular hadith is recorded in Silsilatul Sahiha of Imam Al-Albani rahimahullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said along the lines of these words that the iman of an individual, the faith of an individual, wears out in an individual's heart just as how clothes wear away. Just as how clothes wear out, your iman also wears away. Therefore, pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He renews your faith and rejuvenates your faith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rejuvenate all of our iman. So from this hadith, we understand or that those things that can be derived from this beautiful statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that the levels of iman, they drop and they rise. They drop and they rise. In regard to the iman of the Anbiya, the Prophets alayhi salatu wasalam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam is also reported to have said that the Prophets alayhi salatu wasalam, even though they may look like they are sleeping, their eyes may be closed, but their hearts are awake, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, the iman of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are constantly rising, rising, rising. They never ever drop. They never ever drop. On the other hand, the iman of the Malaika, the angels, they are in a fixed state. They do not rise nor drop. And that is why they are as how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them. لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. They do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they adhere completely to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But on the other hand, the iman of us, slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they drop and they rise. There is a very famous narration where once, the narration goes along the lines of these words, where once Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he meets Hanbala radiallahu anhu. And he asks him, Ya Hanbala, how are you? Hanbala radiallahu anhu replies, Nafaqa Hanbala. Hanbala has become a munafiq. Hanbala radiallahu anhu is stating this and he states, Hanbala has become a munafiq. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, subhanallah, what is making you utter such a statement? Why are you saying that you have become a munafiq? Then Hanbala radiallahu anhu explains, Oh Abu Bakr, whenever we are with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes Jannah to us and describes Jahannam to us, it is as if we are in front of Jannah, it is as if we are in front of Jahannam, and our levels of Iman are so high, Allahu Akbar, so high. But then after the gatherings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we return back home, And when we busy ourselves with our day-to-day lives, when we occupy ourselves with our wives and our children, we begin to forget that which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to us. And that's why I see two states. I'm in one state when I'm with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but then again I'm in a different state when I go out to the dunya, when I occupy myself with my wives and my children. So I feel that I am a hypocrite. The narration goes along the lines of these words. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu then states, Alhamdulillah, I also feel the same thing. Let us go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and inform him about this. These two great Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, they both go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and inform Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam about this. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam clarifies, by the one in whose hands is my soul, Allahu Akbar. He says that if you were to remain the same level of iman that you are in when you are in my gatherings, and if your levels of iman do not drop, if it is always going to be high on that level, the angels would come down and start greeting you. They would start making musafaha with you on the pathways, and also they would come home and greet you. Allahu Akbar. If your levels of iman are going to be in that stage, the malaika would come down and make musafaha with you. But then on the other hand, sa'atun wa sa'a. There is a time for that and there is a time for this. In other words, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was clarifying that when you are in my gatherings, then it is preferable that the iman level should be high. But then again, when you go back to the dunya, when you preoccupy yourself in regard to your business, in regard to your family, in regard to your wife and your children, then naturally the levels of iman are going to deplete and are going to drop. But then again, you need to boost your iman by coming back to the gatherings where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned and the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned, so that the levels of iman begin to rise again. So from all of these narrations, what can be clarified is, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, that our levels of iman rise and drop, or drop and rise. This is the norm in regard to our levels of iman. Now, swiftly moving on to a few cures for those of us whose iman has dropped. If we feel a spiritual puncture, as if that spiritual balloon of ours has been punctured, and we're feeling that vacuum, we're feeling deflated, we're feeling lazy to offer optional ibadat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're feeling that weakness of iman, then we are supposed to administer these particular cures. Inshallah ta'ala, the levels of iman will rise again. Number one is to contemplate on the reality of this life. And to remember death. And that is why there are many narrations where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has encouraged us to go to the graveyards, to accompany the dead. The reason being, the greatest benefit that we get by going to the graveyards is that we remember death. It is the greatest reminder of all for us. We remember death. And the minute we remember death, we realize how fake and how transitory this life is. Because the more we remember death, the more active we are going to become in terms of ibadah, because we are preparing for akhirah. We are not saying that preoccupying yourselves with your family and your children is haram. But then again, as I always say, we need to get our priorities straight. There is no harm in running behind dunya as long as we do not forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As long as we do not forget where we are headed, akhirah, we need to prepare for that. So the more we remember that, it would make us prepare for akhirah. It would make us active. The minute our levels of iman begin to drop, we remember death. We remember that we are supposed to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very soon. And that would recharge our levels of iman, rejuvenate us so that we become active in terms of ibadah towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second great cure in terms of weak levels of Iman is to ponder on the words of our powerful Maker. I've said this often and I say it again. Pondering on the words of your powerful Maker will recharge your levels of Iman. Not to recite the Quran like a parrot. You're not supposed to recite the Quran like a parrot. Rather, you're supposed to recite the Quran in such a way that you try to understand the Quran. If you do not know Arabic, then you try going ahead with a translation. You attend the discourses of tafsir, where you try to understand the Quran from the lips of the scholars, hafidhahumullah, upon the authentic narrations of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thereby understanding the Quran and giving a spirit when reciting the Quran, rather than reciting the Quran just void and empty. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to make tadabbur of the Quran. There are many instances, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam. If you look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was one time when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up for Qiyamul Layl, i.e. the night prayer. He stood up for the nocturnal prayer, and he was in prayer and he kept on repeating one verse, just one verse, until the Adhan of Fajr was called out. Just one verse. إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ. If you punish them, Ya Allah, then they are your slaves. وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. And if you forgive them, فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Then you are almighty, all wise. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept repeating this verse the whole night until daybreak. Allahu Akbar. Look at the amount of pondering on the Quran that our Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. And likewise the Sahaba radhiyallahu ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Umar radiallahu anhu, when he used to be in salah, there was one instance where the sobbing, his weeping could be heard until a few rows behind, because he was weeping so excessively when he came to this verse. إِنَّمَا أَشْكُوا بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. This is the statement of Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam, where he states in the, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions his statement in the Quran, إِنَّمَا أَشْكُوا بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. That I only complain my grief, my sorrow, my sadness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then look at the life of Uthman radiallahu anhu. Allahu Akbar. Towards the latter stages, he was besieged in his house. The rebels had surrounded his house and they were all going to barge in and assassinate him. He was assassinated with the Mus'haf in his hand. He was martyred with the Quran in his hand and blood dripping onto the Quran. Allahu Akbar. Uthman radiallahu anhu. And the historians also mention that when he was martyred, the drops of blood fell on the exact verse. Sibaghat Allah, wa man ahsanu min Allahi sibagham. Allahu Akbar. The color of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Color yourselves with the color of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sibaghat Allah, the religion of Allah. Wa man ahsanu min Allahi sibagha. And who better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ordain a deen, a religion. Allahu Akbar. He was martyred while reciting the Quran, pondering on the words of our powerful Maker. Therefore, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, let us ponder on the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal, thereby charging, recharging our iman and rejuvenating our levels of faith. Swiftly moving on to the other few cures, the next one is seeking knowledge. Our religion, our deen is based upon knowledge. And it is incumbent upon each and every one of us to seek knowledge. And we live in a time and era where everything has been made easy for us. It has all been facilitated for us. We do not have to set out on long journeys on horseback or camelback or sea journeys to seek knowledge. Things have become so easy, so facilitated for us today. We live in a time and an era where there are online Islamic universities, online discourses where you can even seek knowledge from the comfort of your homes and your rooms. Allahu Akbar. And if you do not use these opportunities, we will indeed be questionable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, seek knowledge, because the more you seek knowledge, Naturally, knowledge mandates action. The minute you seek knowledge, you are prompted and encouraged to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the most perfect of manners, resulting in the levels of iman raising. And the next, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, is to frequent the gatherings where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned. The words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are mentioned. The words of our beloved master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are mentioned. And naturally these are the gatherings of scholars, hafidhahum Allah. And likewise we should stay away from environments of sin. We should stay away from environments of sin, switching over to environments of goodness. We should keep the company of righteous people. The more we stick with righteous people, our levels of iman rise. But the more we stick with sinful, evil people, they are going to naturally pull us into the pit that they are in. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. And let us also reflect and prepare ourselves for the day of Qiyamah. The day of Qiyamah is headed towards us at a very rapid pace. The day that we, all of us, you and I, we are going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single deed of ours is going to be put up there on display. Every single deed of ours, every single statement of ours. Therefore, let us prepare for that day. Let us prepare for that meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us do more good deeds. Let us do more good deeds. Let us prepare for that life that we are going to abide in forever and ever. This is another one of the cures that will rejuvenate our levels of iman so that we prepare for the akhirah. Let us stay away from sin. And finally, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, make tawbah before it's too late. Make tawbah before it's too late. The minute you feel your levels of iman dropping, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I've said this before, the tawbah is to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the minute you sense that vacuum, the levels of iman dropping, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn to Him in sincere tawbah. He is waiting for us. He will forgive our sins. And that tawbah, because all of your sins are going to be erased, that tawbah will also rejuvenate your iman and revive your iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of our sins. And may He, the Almighty, accept our good deeds. And may He grant all of us the opportunity to turn to Him before it's too late. And just as how He united us here this afternoon, may He, the Almighty, unite us in the gardens of Jannah with our beloved Master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhir da'wayan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.